from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. If you wanted another note, unfortunately the Chargers are parting ways with Maxaw Duggan. I know a lot of people dug him around here, so sorry about that.
You said it.
You remember him. Wasn't that your guy?
TCU quarterback.
Really? The redheaded guy. He took him to the championship game, and it was 0-0 when it started.
And then?
It didn't go well.
I'm not going to lie. Was it 28-0 after one quarter?
Was it Ohio State?
It got out of hand really, really quickly.
Was it Georgia?
Yes.
It was a football game.
All right. What to look forward to in the rest of the Rangers season? So I have my own ideas, but I'm curious where people fall on this, because clearly it's been a really tough season. Bruce Bochy said, hey, they keep playing, but you also have to be, you know, you also have to understand the situation that you're in. And so I don't know if optimism is abound when it comes to the Rangers. So outside of just, hey, let's win a whole bunch of games, what, if anything, has you intrigued for the rest of the season?
Wyatt Langford.
Okay.
For me, it doesn't mean he's going to be great next year or not. He has to start showing more pop.
Yeah.
Is he going to end the year? If I gave you, this is probably too low. If I gave you over under 10.5 home runs, he has 7 right now.
I think I would go just over.
Like, over. I hate saying
but
this.
But not by a lot.
He should have had 20 home runs this year. Yeah. And I'm not saying he won't. Like, it would be, if he got to 20 home runs, my gosh.
Is there something in his mechanics that he can work on this offseason that could change that? Because he hit a lot. He hit the top of the ball a lot this year. Yeah. And so ground balls, and I just don't know how to change that.
I mean, obviously, you know, hitting coaches are going to be much better at watching him every day. When I watch him, to me, it looks like at times he cuts the ball, where he gets so inside of the baseball, hitting the inside of the baseball and not like the core of the baseball, the ball that's closest to you. So the ball kind of, it's like he's trying to push the ball away from him, kind of Elvis Andrus-like. That scares me. Elvis, not saying he wasn't a great player for the Rangers, but remember when Elvis was a rookie in 09 and we saw, I know this is going to sound, but remember when we saw his thighs and his ass and his body and we were like, I get it. He's not hitting for power at all. That body is eventually going to hit for power. There's no way you have that trunk with that athleticism and he doesn't figure out how to turn it loose. For 1 year in his life, yep, he turned it loose and got to, it was like 19 or 21 home runs. And I'm not saying that's Wyatt Langford's path, but for me, I'm watching Wyatt Langford, one, defensively, can he get better, yeah, out in left field? Because he's raw out there.
It was right between 20.
Okay.
Yeah, he hit 20 that one time.
And I'm like, but the power, the reason he was drafted fourth, the main reason was his power at the plate. He looked like a guy who would be consistently, and I'm not saying who knew that he was going to make the major leagues when you drafted him out of college, but you saw a 30 to 45 home run on a consistent basis power. That's why he was drafted fourth overall. Yeah, the he's going to give us 80 extra base hits a year.
Yeah.
And right now you're looking at it and going, it's early, a lot of time to develop. Dylan Cruz, who was drafted in front of him from LSU, still hasn't even played a day in the major leagues. So there's still a lot of time for development. But for me, I'm watching Wyatt Langford and seeing, can he be a power hitting guy for you? Because he has to be. I'm not saying tomorrow he has to be or tonight he has to be, but in the near future, Wyatt Langford needs to be a guy in your lineup that is 30 to 45 home runs on a yearly basis.
I have two things, Kevin. I think Wyatt Langford absolutely is.
Makes like a lot of sense.
The number one thing to be excited about for the rest of the year. One of them is potentially getting to see Jacob DeGrom pitch.
Okay.
Like that. Like
I agree just with that. For sure.
Again, I go back to when you have one of the greatest pitchers of all time step on the mound, you want to take full advantage of being able to see that dude do his thing. We got a glimpse of it last year. Unfortunately, with Max Scherzer, I told you I'd missed all of his career because he never played around us. I didn't get to watch enough Max Scherzer. And then by the time we got him, body had fallen apart. So I didn't get to see that. But DeGrom is the thing. The other one, though, and I'm very torn on this. The continuation of the Corey Seager experience. Well, he's a great baseball. Okay. He's a great baseball player. And being able, again, just like DeGrom, being able to watch a great baseball player play baseball is a lot of fun. But I'm kind of torn on this because if the reality is that the Rangers might decide to cheap out and say, see you later to some of life as we know it. And, well, if you're going to do that, why not just trade Corey Seager and why not trade Marcus Semien? That concerns me because I was hoping that we just get to finish Corey Seager's career out here and we get to see something amazing because he won us a damn World Series.
I'll throw this out. You guys can discuss this or you have a really serious discussion with him on October 2nd when the season ends and you say, we're kind of redoing this team and we think what's best for this team is moving you to first base.
You can still crush. You can still go up to the... Actually, it might even be more beneficial to your career to do that. And I don't know how much of an ego he has, Kevin, that would keep him from it because it seems... I mean, we don't know enough about the guy, honestly.
My guess is he would say no to that just because you're at the probably, if not the marquee defensive position in baseball, certainly one of the two marquee defensive positions. I wonder, y'all make great points, but I wonder if he's like, no, I've still got a couple more years at shortstop.
This isn't fun as something to really look for, but this is about 10 days away. Are the Rangers going to put like five guys on waivers and I'll say up to five guys. And it's very easy. I'll name the players that I don't know. I have no clue what ownership is thinking, but Andrew Heaney's a free agent. Nathan Eovaldi's a free agent. Max Scherzer's a free agent. Kirby Yates is a free agent. David Robertson's a free agent. Those are five off the top of my head. Also, Jose Leclerc's a free agent. But guys that make, I will say, in the month of September, just take whatever their salary is, divide it by six, because you get paid during your baseball season. Yeah. So 1/6 of their contract is paid in the month of September. How much, because they're up against luxury tax holds and thresholds or whatever, is how many guys possibly are the Rangers just going to allow contenders to pick up on? Maybe it's nobody. Maybe it's just an unloading of a whole bunch of, I don't know. So that's something I'm very interested in on August 25th through about the 30th. And then to see the reaction, if it does happen, from the players and the agents that are under long-term contracts here.
And I'm just going to say, if that happens, and I know we're the home of the Rangers, I will come on here and say that's an embarrassment. I understand how and why it could happen. I would just think that that's an embarrassment. And then I wonder, like, you don't have your GM that everybody seems to love under contract till past this year. You wonder about Bruce Bochy. And if Boch and Chris Young see that this is what we're doing, I wonder if there's like, hey, this is a tip off of for what we're going to be doing going forward and going on the cheap. And I'm just not here for that.
Yeah, because that's what we had as kids, right?
Yes. Oh, for sure.
And we thought we'd gotten past that.
Yeah.
We thought we'd gotten to a point now where we're like, hey, man, you just won a World Series. Now you can set a standard for what the to be a real big market baseball team for the rest of your life could feel like. And then you just go back to being a farm team.
I was going to go to a positive one. So if you want to stay with this, we can stay.
Because I was going to go to another one.
So. Cody Bradford is the person that I'm focused on just because, look, you're looking for people that are going to be under your control and that you hope can have an impact on this team. And I've been super encouraged by the last two starts of Cody Bradford. 11 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, also had 11 hits given up versus 9 strikeouts. And so these last two starts were really encouraging. I would love to see more of that from him. And so that might already be the case, but then you can kind of pencil him into the rotation. I would love to see that they're like, hey, you're in.
Yeah,
we might have got rid of all these other guys, but you're in.
It's kind of like him and Josh Young we missed out on this year.
Yeah.
Because they got injured so early, and it was lengthy recoveries for both of them. So it stunk that we didn't get to see that, because I was expecting Cody Bradford to grow through the season. And we saw good Cody Bradford early and then good Cody Bradford recently, yeah, but not in between.
I'm very interested in that because he might be your number two starting pitcher next year.
If Scherzer's out and Eovaldi's out.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was going to say, Mally, yesterday was concerning to me. I get that most people didn't watch the game. I totally get why you're out on the Rangers now. And I'm not saying you should get back in. They have a 0.2% chance of making the playoffs, so I get where they're at and everything. But Mally, I don't even know if he threw a fastball over 90 miles an hour yesterday. That's part of the rehab process, I think. I know that they believe his velocity. He was 91 to 93 his first two starts. Yesterday, he was 88 to 90, which is a pretty good drop-off in your third start coming back. And so now I'm wondering, hey, this is just part of the rehab process and we're going to be good 4 or 5 days from now the next time he takes the ball? Or do we need to kind of shut him down and just kind of go back to throwing some bullpens to make sure we're physically okay?
Yeah.
And so I think watching Mally the rest of this season too, to be like kind of comboing it with Cody Bradford on, if these are supposed to be your number two and three starting pitchers next year, what do they look like going into the off season?
I think that is a fair point. And this question comes up because we talked about this a lot from the 469. How much of it is Bally versus just Ray Davis? I think it's a combination. Bally and the money lost there, that's a big deal. It really, really is. But I think you saw earlier this in the offseason with the, hey, we're not going to bring back Jordan Montgomery. I think that was partially scouting, partially a money issue that they were like, we just can't do it, even though he was a hero of the playoffs.
And hopefully they can find the money somewhere else. Like find ways to, if Bally isn't going to work for them.
Yeah, if Diamond Sports Group is really going to like fold out of their regional network coverage like this, I'm really curious to see what all of these teams do, or baseball, if they just default to Major League Baseball.
They might have to reinvent the wheel on how they put their stuff out there.
That's possible, you
know? Yeah. We still don't know about the Mavericks. Like, I know that we're getting ready for Cowboy season. The Mavericks start training camp in a month. And the Mavericks start playing games in mid-October, and we have no clue right now in mid-October what channel the Mavericks are going on. We know the Stars are going to be on Victory app,
Plus.
Victory Plus app channel. We don't know. The Mavericks, now, I think luckily Mark Cuban, who, this is going to sound super weird, who doesn't have a lot of money as an owner, sold to people that have
lots
10 times to 40 times or whatever the amount of money that Mark Cuban has, maybe 100 times the amount of money. So their new ownership, they are not concerned about, oh no, Bally's or whoever is not giving us money anymore. They're like, we are so rich, we'll figure it out, and we'll start making money in TV when we get everything figured out. It seems like for the Rangers, a lot of it is reliant upon like keeping John Gray. This is off-season stuff. John Gray makes $13 million on a 1-year contract. That is very affordable for most teams. For the Rangers, they might look at it and go, we can get Kumar Rocker or Teodo to pitch for $725,000. And that saves us $12.2 million approximately. You know, and I don't know. I have no clue what the future holds. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they go, you know what? We have a window. We have a one-year window with Bruce Bochy. Most likely Bruce Bochy's managing next year and then retiring, and 4 or 5 years from now, us in San Francisco can celebrate him being a Hall of Fame manager in Cooperstown. But you have one more year with Bruce Bochy to manage this team. You have, I don't know, Jacob deGrom. Hopefully he's still in his prime or close to it. I have no clue what he's going to look like, but Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, close to being out of their prime. Like, not meaning they can't play baseball anymore, but their prime is very short. Like, why not one more year go after it?
Yeah, and then we can Sebastian Walcott
this thing. And then when you see that Semien and Seager and deGrom and these guys are truly past their prime, truly can't carry a team, dump it. Go down to $100 million and rebuild through Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter, because they have plenty of time, hopefully.
And for people that are asking why the other teams can't do what the Stars are doing, I'm sure they, like, could. It's just a matter
decision
of
finances.
Yeah, it's a matter of finances as well.
You gotta get the equipment to do it. You got to have the people to do it. And then you got to sell it. So it is a big structure to get put in place.
For the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3
Little Dallas Cowboy wants Cowboys coverage. What's your problem, Kevin?
Okay, coming up next, the most hyped NFL teams going into the season. Or excuse me, wrong segment. It's a different football segment. Where the Cowboys rank in each positional category
Cowboys!
And what that means
Little
for
Dallas
the
Cowboy,
overall
this one's for you.
All roster. We'll do it next right here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fan.
Trying to get the ball in the end zone. Second down and goal at the one. Lance is going to be in the shotgun on second and goal from the one. Freeman to his right, play fake, fade right side of the end zone, Flournoy, all alone, touchdown Cowboys.
KMC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. As we move into the expressway, we got Mike Likes It coming up in just a little bit. But first, get a chance to discuss this on Friday. ESPN put out a comprehensive position group ranking for all the positions on a football team. So I kind of wanted to walk through these, see if you think the Cowboys are slotted appropriately, and what you think that means for the depth or talent of the roster that they've built. All right. Quarterback. Where does the Cowboys quarterback room sit among the NFL?
Second, because our guy got second in MVP.
Well, after Trey Lance's accomplishments.
Third pick in the draft.
After his accomplishments over the weekend, Kevin. Was that taken into consideration, how much he grew?
No, because it came out on Friday. That's okay. The only reason, though.
Then I'll say eighth.
Okay. Cowboys are at sixth.
Okay. Yes!
And only one of these.
I was going to say seventh, so that's good.
Only one
sixth
of these.
Sixth usually doesn't make the NFC or AFC championship game.
That is a great point. Kansas City is first. Buffalo is second. Baltimore third.
Because of Bouchel.
Yes.
So this is all of the NFL.
You said the whole room. He's in the room.
All of the NFL.
Shane's in the Buffalo room.
Cincinnati. Yeah, you weren't saying eighth for the NFC, were you? Damn. Cincinnati is fourth. And then this one I don't agree with. The New York Jets are fifth.
Well,
I agree. They got rid of the mom guy.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
I don't know. Aaron Rodgers has problems with his
Anybody's interested
moms.
In some really cool Zach Wilson cards?
I got one.
On the Chief.
Oh, I'll give you a great deal.
I don't know, dude. He might turn out with the Broncos.
That's what I'm saying. I'll give you a mom's discount.
There you go. What's that mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
It means whatever it sells for, knock another 25% off. Or I'll tell you what, right now, 40% off of whatever the comp is, 40% off the comp, and you got yourself a Zach.
Who's got the shakiest quarterback room in the NFL?
The Giants.
That's one of them.
The Giants are actually the only 30th.
Carolina.
Carolina's 25th. They're rocking and rolling.
That's his height.
The Minnesota, his height is 25?
Inches.
Okay. It's the the Minnesota Vikings.
Things were fine when they had JJ.
Hey, but it's no longer Dynamite because he got hurt. So they're the bottom.
Where are the Raiders?
The Raiders are 31st.
Okay.
So you guys are on track with the worst in the NFL. All right, Alec, I'm going to see how confident you're going to be here. Running back.
Time to shine, Alec.
From 1 to 32, where would you rank the Cowboys running back room?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with 26.
Oh, optimistic Alec with the 26 on the running back room.
32nd.
Mike says 32nd. Dead last. Corey, what say you?
28.
There's no way. I'm interested to know, is there really a team worse than this?
As Reggie would say, $1, Bob.
The Dallas Cowboys are number 32 on the list.
There's no way that anybody's worse.
First is San Francisco, followed by Detroit, Atlanta.
What's San Francisco got?
I mean, the best running back. Followed by Detroit, Atlanta, Seattle, and the Jets. Here's what it says for the Cowboys. This wasn't a tough choice, considering Dallas clearly decided to deprioritize the position this season. Dallas is choosing to run by committee, but there's not much to get excited about with Zeke or Rico Dowdle, 179-pound Deuce Vaughn, and Royce Freeman. That's per ESPN, not me.
We'll be all in.
Oh, great. When does that start? All right, wide receiver.
Well,
that is the worst for the Cowboys, as you could probably guess.
Is CeeDee Lamb there?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of the pack.
Oh.
13-ish.
Okay.
10, because I think CeeDee, because he's a top 5 receiver, elevates the room. Okay.
They're 11th. Right. Houston leads the way, thanks to Reggie. Followed by San Francisco, Seattle, Cincinnati, and Miami. The Dallas Cowboys are number 11 on the list. Who has the worst group of wide receivers? That would be the New England Patriots.
Name a receiver on their team.
I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
Probably Raymond Felton.
I think the only one I could name was Juju, and now he's not even there. So
yeah. That's done. No, instead they're, you know, once they dropped out of the Brandon Ayuk deal, you're like, oh, that's going to be trouble. So Kendrick Bourne, I guess, is what we're going
with. Yeah, yeah, there you go.
AJ Osborne.
Let's entertaining go. Movies.
The third, like the third receiver on the Vikings is now one of their guys.
Got to upgrade.
Good.
Tight end. Where do you put the Dallas Cowboys in terms of tight end? I think this one is
in the room.
In the room.
Probably 13 also. Probably.
I was going to go like 18.
Oh, see, I think their room is... I do think their room is strong. I think this is too low.
You think Schoonmaker's strong after that showing he had this weekend?
No, I like the rest of them.
Okay, you like...
Schoony bad.
He just wasn't...
He started a fight.
He did start a fight multiple times, yeah.
Multiple fights?
Two fights. Well, he got a little chippy at one point, and then...
Did he get mad at the quarterback for passing it to him?
No.
You know I can't catch!
Why are you doing this to me? You're
stop making me look bad.
Yeah, I think that Ferguson's very good.
Me too.
And I think everything else is kind of unproven after that. So that's why I kind of have him in 13 because of him.
You know I love me some John Stevens. And yes. Then Brevin Span Ford looks like.
Right, but nobody. He's gonna again, nobody team. Knows who he is.
That's fair.
Nobody, and nobody knows John Stevens either.
That is also fair. 17th on the list.
That's close.
Best tight ends in the league. Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, San Francisco, and Detroit. Worst tight ends in the league. Carolina.
The Raiders.
The Raiders are... Where did the Raiders go? They're 7th on this list, so very high. Offensive line.
Okay. I think the offensive line is going to be better than we thought because I think Tyler Guyton is ready to go.
But do you think ESPN thinks that?
I'm very interested in knowing who the center is going to be because I loved what I saw out of BB. I'll put middle of the pack 15 because but I think they're going to be good. But
you
I don't
scared
think
anybody, me with that answer.
I don't think anybody knows what this offensive line is going to be yet nationally.
I'll say just inside the top 10 at 8.
8? 18 on the list.
I think it's going to be better than that. I do. That. Zach Martin, Tyler Smith, let's not forget about that. Terrence Steele, let's see if he's back. But I think those
there are a lot of questions about that.
Yeah.
How bad, let's just say they're solid or good. Let's just say they're right around borderline top 10 offensive line. How bad will their rating be that Ezekiel Elliott can't hit the hole or do anything? Like, he's not fast enough to cut back into another hole. Like, the offensive line, we're going to hear Mickey a zillion times this year say it was the offensive line and not Zeke.
Even if you feel like you created the hole and they're like,
yeah, it doesn't matter because you're going to be like, well, the line creates. And so you're going to hear, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that the line is going to get criticism for not being a good run blocking line when you don't have a running back.
That is very interesting. This one I think is low. I thought the tight ends was low as well. Top of the heap for offensive line, Detroit, Cleveland, Atlanta, Indianapolis, and Philly. The worst offensive line, the Seattle Seahawks.
That doesn't sound good for that coach you said is going to have a good year.
It does not, does it? Interior defensive line.
This one's
going to hurt.
32.
25.
24th for the Dallas Cowboys. This is led by... Kind of flip the script on some of these. Indianapolis, Seattle, Detroit, Atlanta, and Kansas City lead the way. But I think most Cowboys fans outside of running back would volunteer that interior defensive line is a weak spot.
Chris Jones is on a team that has a worse interior defensive line.
Say that again.
You said Kansas City is one of the worst?
No, Kansas City is number 5.
I thought you were saying these teams are worse than the Cowboys.
No,
wait a second.
These teams are at the top. Indianapolis, Seattle, Detroit, Atlanta, and Kansas City.
Okay.
Yes, I did not understand your question.
That's
for that.
I was confused. I was like, wait, there's no way.
They're at the top of the list. I was saying it was flipping the script for Seattle, who's at the bottom of offensive line, but at the top of
interior
defensive line.
Can you imagine the confidence and the lack of confidence they're having in training camp?
Oh, my gosh.
The worst is facing the best?
Yes, that's a great point. All right, what about edge rusher?
What is Micah?
He counts as an edge rusher.
Top 5.
Yeah, third.
That is correct.
Look at you, Mike.
The Dallas Cowboys are third on this list.
Hopefully they won't burn out.
Yeah.
Oh, because the other side. Of the edge rushers. Yeah.
He gets tired.
No, yes, I understand the reference.
He said
I don't
that
want
while
you
we
to think
Super
that's
Bowl.
Lost on me.
We were in Vegas, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
I think that was the day
you went on with Shannon Sharp and Stephen A.
I was really hurting that
said,
day.
Look, it was
I
fine, think. But we just got tired of playing football.
Yeah, burn out.
It's playoff stuff, stupid.
The top five is Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Dallas, Houston, and the Chargers. Do you think it would be any higher if Sam Williams was still there? You think that would like
I don't think for ESPN. Okay. You said this is ESPN.
Yes.
I can't imagine that they're very high on Sam Williams.
Fair enough.
I agree with Mike.
Worst, Tampa Bay. Off-ball linebacker. Now, this is kind of the trade-off, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're counting Micah as the edge, then you're not considering him, even though I know he's going to bounce to multiple levels of the field, and he'll rush at linebacker hall, so play off-ball
Overshown
linebacker some.
And Clark, you're like unknowns there. So.
30.
I'll go with 25 again.
That is correct.
I got it again.
No, not you. Corey, that's why I pointed to Corey when I said that is correct.
Did you not see him point?
I just watch his eyes.
Okay.
Washington, San Francisco, Jacksonville, the Jets, and the Bears lead the way, but the Cowboys are down at 25. Now, I think one of the things that's going to help them, as we just addressed, Micah is going to play a lot on both levels. Yeah,
we're going to see more of him all over the place this year.
I do think they'll be better than that. Cornerback.
Top five.
Cornerback.
Top five easy.
Okay.
Fifth.
The Jets are one. Then the Dolphins, Browns, and the Cowboys are fourth on the list, followed by Tennessee. Now, good news in the division, the New York Giants are listed as having the worst group in.
They're trying to give him confidence. They go against Daniel Jones.
Dude, hold on. Where's,
that's a good
where's
point.
Washington right now?
Washington right now is near D.C. That's where they play.
No, but where are they on the.
They're 30th.
Okay.
With Champ Bailey and Daryl Green.
They don't have Champ Bailey or Daryl Green anymore.
That is true, Mike. They got slaughtered early in the game by the Dolphins. Tua did whatever he wanted.
They are not good. By the way, the Giants also have the worst group of safeties, and the Washingtons have the 24th best group of safeties, so not a good combination.
Where's Philly on there?
In cornerbacks or safeties?
Cornerbacks, I'm sorry.
Philadelphia for cornerbacks is 11.
Okay.
So,
again, winnable division if you're throwing the ball around.
What about for safeties?
For the Cowboys?
Where would they rank?
I would 16. Say like 15-ish because
okay.
I don't think anybody knows who the safeties are.
They're number 12 on this list. It's head up by Baltimore, Miami, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, and Cleveland. I already told you the worst in all the lands was the Giants, but then the Cowboys slide in at number 12. So here are the rankings for their positional groups. 6, 32, 11, 17, 18, 24, 3, 25, 4, and 12. Where do you think that puts them overall in terms of talent for your roster?
10-y.
Middle of the pack.
10.
Okay.
11.
Say 10?
Yeah.
You say 11? Alec, you were optimistic before. What say you now?
2.
Do you?
Dropping the deuce.
Do you weigh?
Vaughn.
Because there are some key spots like your secondary, your quarterback, and your defensive ends. Do you weigh those heavier?
No doubt.
And give yourself a little more because of those.
I have no doubt about that.
Okay. Then, yeah, maybe 10, maybe.
Okay.
9 or something like that.
Okay. So we feel like 9 or 10. Alex says 2.
Probably like 13.
Okay. They're 6th on the
list. You should have stuck with your original
answer. I really should have.
You were closer with that. Now,
divisional game.
San Francisco has the number 1 team on this list, but I want you to listen to the rest of these teams and think about where the Cowboys are slotted then in terms of talent. San Francisco's 1. The Jets are 2nd, then Kansas City, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and then Dallas. So what you'll notice is
Cleveland versus Dallas, week 1, baby!
That has Dallas as the 2nd most talented team in the NFC, ahead of the Lions, which I have to admit, I was a little bit surprised by.
I guess a lot of people are still, the Cowboys beat the Lions last year. I thought the Lions got better this offseason, though.
They know who to report now if they want all the linemen to report as eligible receivers.
Figured
that problem out. This is just building up disappointment. All you did, Kevin, this is my takeaway as we get to Mike likes it here soon. You just built up major disappointment for all the YouTubers like Lil Dallas Cowboy. I love you, Lil Dallas Cowboy. The quitter. Who is the quitter's name? Barry Fish. Quitter. Quit the show. 5 minutes in, you quitter.
By the way, Barry Fish is a guy on YouTube that texted or messaged into the YouTube early in the show that he was leaving because we were talking baseball instead of football.
For one segment.
For anybody
not
that
even a whole
like,
segment.
Yeah, wasn't it? You're right.
For anybody that has that's been like, Mike has been saying Barry Fish all day. What does this mean? I just wanted him to know.
You built up the disappointment already.
Look, I'm telling you. This
and
is
you
how.
You built up Jerry Jones. It's not his fault.
This is how ESPN has it structured. They only have four teams from the NFC in the top 10. San Francisco at 1, Dallas at 6, Detroit at 9, and Philadelphia at 10. So they're looking at it and saying, ESPN believes the Dallas Cowboys right now have the second most talented team in the NFC. By the way, fun fact, who do you think is in dead last?
I mean, the Giants probably.
Sounds like, yeah.
The New York Giants are dead last on the list.
Because of Daniel Jones.
I'm not going to say it's only because of Daniel Jones. I'm sure the trickle-down effect from him being mediocre at best and the money he's making to the rest of the roster is very real.
Well, they got Tommy DeVito, so that room obviously
for
takes
now, him. Remember, he dared them to release him or not give him his money.
Chris Rogers might leave because... too much football talk. What are we supposed to do?
Look, it is really hard.
What do we do now?
To make sure that you please all of the people.
Chris!
All hey, I of just the time. Say, we're doing our best.
For the YouTube that's saying that, I really do appreciate the Twitch, which is like, hey, we're with you guys all the way, no matter what. The YouTube, they're very selective, but we really appreciate our Twitchers out there.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time for Mike Likes It.
All right, I'm going to start this off with a Mike Likes It. Saturday.
That makes sense. It's Mike Likes It. What do you mean you're going to start it off with a Mike Likes It?
Sometimes
what
I talk about
things I don't like. What else would you start it off with?
Sometimes things I don't like.
Okay.
You know?
That's a fact.
That is true.
Like the Cowboys. So when it comes to Adrian Beltre, Saturday he kind of had his, I don't know, Hall of Fame speech, however you want to do it, but I was there, and when Chuck Morgan announced that they are going to have a statue of Adrian Beltre at the stadium next year, they're going to unveil it. So he will be the fourth statue, really. So you have Nolan Ryan, you have Pudge Rodriguez,
The
Neftali Feliz and Benji Molina statue, too.
Where's Steve Buscemi's statue?
They're not anywhere. Don't worry, I'm going to get to the Cowboys here in a second. Don't worry, Cowboy fans, I'm going to turn this on your owner, Jerry Jones. It was so awesome. And I said this on the air. If you were watching, thank you. But I couldn't believe that in my life on Saturday, I was getting paid and I was calling a Ranger game. And then I was getting to interview or be part of listening to an interview with Adrian Beltre and Dave Raymond. And Beltre's just sitting there with his cowboy hat they gave him.
I saw that.
And it was just for me. I know this sounds kind of corny or whatever. It was so surreal. I'm like, I cannot believe that this is my life right now.
Yeah.
I am getting to be the analyst of the childhood team that I grew up loving. And I'm sitting next to a current Hall of Famer, one of the best players ever in the history of baseball. I was like, it doesn't get better than this. And guess what? The Rangers lost. I don't care. Like, it was awesome. I can't believe how awesome it was for that 15 minutes of my life, but really the whole part of just being part of it. But nobody knew. I asked Chuck Morgan afterwards. I asked him on Sunday morning. I was like, hey, like, and I won't tell. But I was like, literally nobody in our booth knew. There was nobody that was part of the pregame, part of the game. They kept this a secret. Beltre really didn't know. Elvis Andrus didn't know. Like, when they said that, when Chuck Morgan said that, the Rangers were able to keep that. Whoever knew, the few people that did, it was a major surprise and so super cool. Okay? So now, after this happened, I thought to myself, wow, they name the Rangers and you have the statue commemorating winning the American League championship. Yeah. It's not like, I mean, you can say it is a Neftali Feliz and Benji Molina statue. It truly is.
Yes.
Of those two guys. But it's really celebrating the first time ever the Rangers won the American League. Yep. And then you go to,
I want to ask, I promise this is a serious question. Are you surprised at all that he's getting a statue?
I think he's deserving of one.
Okay.
So he also has just the, I'm assuming it's going to be the one knee home run.
Sure.
So you have something that is just
the circle.
So memorable. I asked him, I was like, what if they had Elvis as a statue next to you and you go, guys are both looking like you're catching a pop-up. He immediately said no.
Not happening.
I guess it's going to look like a cool statue.
Yeah.
Oh, like, if it's a one knee home run, like that's going to be a cool looking statue, even though I'm of the group that probably doesn't think that I'd give a statue to him. That's just my thought. That's offensive. I'm sorry.
Coming up next.
Oh my God.
No. You're gonna fit in perfectly with your Dallas Cowboys then.
My gosh. I don't know what that totally means.
I kind of do.
So if you go to the American Airlines Center, there's two statues.
Yes.
Dirk Nowitzki and Mike Modano. Now, I'll ask you guys real quick. Do you think there should be any other statues of anybody else for those two franchises?
No.
I don't think so either.
Nope.
So I don't think they're leaving anybody out by going, I can't believe you screwed over Rolando Blackman. Like, yeah. I love Ro. One of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah.
But I don't think Ro deserves one. And for the rest of Dallas Stars hockey, I don't think you could do this, but it didn't even really happen in your building. Is Brett Hull like scoring the championship?
Yeah, it'll be a cool looking statue
to commemorate,
putting the crease and everything.
But that was in Buffalo. I don't know how much if Neftali Feliz and Benji Molina are doing that at Yankee Stadium. I don't know if a statue's made. It does kind of commemorate. Hey, this was at our building that we won the American League.
Can I tell you? I'm really glad it's there though, because to me, for the longest time, probably up until this last year, that was the greatest moment in Rangers history. Yeah. It was amazing.
You ready for the biggest ego in the world, at least in Dallas-Fort Worth? The Dallas Cowboys have a lot of people who deserve a statue. There's one. There's Tom Landry.
Yeah.
Right.
How in the world, I was thinking about this Saturday night, how in the world does Roger Staubach, Bob Lilly, Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, the all-time leading rusher in the history of football.
That is weird.
Jerry does not want anybody to take away from I am the Dallas Cowboys. Make no mistake about it. No human will ever have a statue. I'm sure he regrets even giving Landry one. He does not want to show any love to anybody besides himself. And so I'm like, how in the world do we not have a Troy Aikman? Even if you wanted to do this, the Aikman, Emmett, Irvin, like together, like as they're kind of going off the field or what, like you could do one statue for all three of those guys to commemorate the 90s, which Jerry, that would commemorate you too. Yeah. I know it's all about you, but like Roger and I will say at least Roger Staubach. I think Bob Lilly deserves a lot more love for Cowboys franchise history than he gets. But how do you not have a Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman? If you were just going to concentrate on the position, how do you not have statues of them, Jerry?
No, I will say, what's the walkway out at in Frisco, though, where you have the numbers for all the players?
That part is really cool. By the way, if you ever want to go out to the Star, like even if you don't go inside, Corey's right. That little plaza area is super cool.
So, the Mavs don't have that. The Stars don't have that. The Rangers don't have that. That is something that's unique and different. It's not a statue. But it is something that does recognize them elsewhere outside of the stadium. And I do wonder on the Landry statue itself, if it's just like, look, that's the one. We're going to keep it that way forever. Now,
because why?
Well, because Landry was the Cowboys.
I agree. Okay, man, he was the Cowboys. But it's hard for me to say he is a bigger Cowboys figure than Roger Staubach. Like,
what about Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah, I feel like Tom Landry is a bigger Cowboys icon than Jimmy Johnson for sure. I realize, the number of Super Bowls and everything like that. It's hard for me to argue that Staubach shouldn't be out there. Like, I love Bob Lilly, but I can understand if, like, maybe people don't automatically think Bob Lilly with the Cowboys as much as they do Staubach or Landry.
It's only an opinion. It's my opinion. Jerry won't do it because it takes 1% away from him. And he is the Dallas Cowboys.
I do feel, though, like that would be one of those things that it's another attraction. It's just like the art museum he's got inside the stadium. It's another reason to come.
Him and his wife's relationship and needs to throw a lot of bones to his wife for what he does.
It's one of those things where it's another part of an attraction. And as much as anything else, I guess if they weren't selling tickets, you know, if people weren't pining to be in that stadium, then he would be like, you know what? I got to find some other way to get people. But man, there are a lot of Cowboys that would be deserving of it. And when it comes to the Rangers, we have...
Well, and nothing against... I think Beltre deserves it as a Ranger. But like, if we're talking about statues in DFW, Aikman, Staubach,
like the Lakers
Emmett,
throw up statues for everybody.
Maybe even Dorsett.
Beltre's behind all of them. Like, if we were just saying statue worthiness, I know it's different.
But it just goes to show, to me, the ego of Jerry Jones that he refuses to show any love to anybody besides himself. He'll fake say stuff. Hey, this is our team. All you fans listening. Yeah, right. But like, it was amazing to me thinking about it. Right next door, in 2025, there's going to be this unveiling of this statue. And we've had quite a few recently. Dirk and Madonna and now Beltre next year. And Jerry is going to, and guess what? I know no media member out there is going to ask him about it.
Nope.
So like, they're all, you know, yay Jerry all the time. But
I mean, we can ask him.
I do think this. When Jerry dies, I do think his kids are going to put a statue outside of him.
I think you're right.
But like the Lakers, now I will say the Yankees are different because they have kind of the monuments, right? Not the statues, the monuments.
Yeah.
But even if Jerry wanted to do something kind of more like that when you're going to a Cowboy game, I get it. It doesn't have to be particularly a statue. And somebody said Jerry's cheap, and those statues do cost a lot of money. You are out of your pocket. I don't know, $500,000, $1 million. I don't know. They're very...
It's a great question. I have no idea how much a statue costs.
By the way, I went and looked. It looks like there's only about 13 NFL statues at stadiums.
Oh.
Like, so not every... there aren't a bunch of them. Like, Peyton Manning has one. Tom Brady just got announced for one. Johnny Unitas, Jim Brown.
I think Walter Payton has one at Soldier Field.
Lamar Hunt has one for the Chiefs. Like, Patrick Mahomes should already have one.
That's true. Even though they're probably moving like 20 miles away.
Ray Lewis, Vince Lombardi, Marino. Marino never even won a Super Bowl. Why should he? Like, what's up with that?
Whoa.
Jerry Richardson. What? That's weird. He put a statue of himself out in front of the Carolina Panthers stadium.
I mean, like, that's not the biggest issue.
Don Shula. Like, there are limited in the NFL. So it's not like there's a bunch of them have, like, the Lakers have a row of them, you know, out there. So it's interesting. It's an interesting take.
Anyways, Jerry, man, thank you for giving us the Cowboys and letting us all be part of the ownership.
Get more statues.
You're the best, Jerry.
We're the KNC, Matt. Just real quick, Mike, when he comes on Fridays, do you want to ask him about that?
No, I don't want to talk to him ever.
Okay. Coming up next.
I am going to talk. I will tell you that. I'll ask him. I will. Next time he comes on, I'll say, Adrian Beltre got a statue or is getting a statue. How come you don't celebrate Cowboys?
I think that's a great question. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block, starring Corey Majors and a special guest.
I have asked Brian Broaddus to join us one more time before we get done with everything here next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.